This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
And a good morning, everybody, and welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. It is good to have you with us, and it is always good to talk about this topic. Joining me is Emily Hegland. She's executive director of the SPCA of East Texas,
East Texas, right?
Welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And I was, before we started recording here, I was sharing my dilemma because we are now living examples of why spaying and neutering is so important. We live in an old historic home built in the 19th century and on pier and beam, and under that pier and beam, a mama cat just had a litter, and I'm seeing them all around the acreage there. That's not a very uncommon problem, right?
That's right. Yeah. We get dozens and dozens of calls a day at SPCA of East Texas for help with stray animals or unwanted animals, unwanted litters, cats and dogs both in equal proportion. And it's just something that our region is really challenged with.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was telling you before we started, I actually live in a small town, down south a little bit, but still in East Texas. And yeah, even in a small town, there are street dogs, every time I'm driving up here to work, they gather around the donut shop, any place there might be food thrown away.
Absolutely.
Around the Walmart and that sort of thing. And I'm quietly praying, don't wander in the street. Don't go in the street because they seem relatively savvy. But yeah, I mean, if somebody had taken care, they wouldn't be there.
That's right. We always are emphasizing the importance of spaying and neutering. I know a lot of owners often feel like it's not necessary, or my dog is in the yard or in the house, and so it's not an issue. But should your animal, get loose due to accident or things happen, and those animals can reproduce quickly. So it really is an important thing to take advantage of.
Another animal gets loose and gets in your yard. I mean, your dog may be perfectly well behaved, but things happen.
Things happen. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We see it all the time.
So let me ask your advice. What should I do? I'm afraid if I feed them, they will become a permanent fixture and I will get more.
They probably will.
Yeah.
They like to stay where the food is. I would recommend that you, try to call around to some different rescue groups in the area. We have a lot of wonderful rescue partners throughout Tyler and Smith County and the East Texas region, and see if anybody's got availability. We're all doing the best we can, but it is an onslaught of needs. So make some phone calls. If you can get them to a vet, there's lots of options for low cost, vaccination clinics or free vaccine clinics in the area. Definitely try to get them vaccinated, spayed and neutered. That's a great start. And then, from there, you can hopefully try to find them some good homes.
Yeah, well, okay. Good luck.
Just to give you a to-do list. I know you wanted it.
So. I was going to say, yeah. I'm not sure there's a sign that is more ignored than free kittens. Yeah. anywhere. Well, let's talk about the SPCA, obviously. Are you guys facing what we've talked to folks with other organizations, and right now, apparently, well, certainly during the summer, a lot of animals in the shelters, a lot of animals needing adoption.
That's right.
Absolutely. Are you guys crowded too?
Absolutely. We stay full. We have anywhere from 150 to 200 animals in our program at any given time. Many of those animals, we are a foster-based rescue, so many of them are in foster homes in the local area. Yeah. We always need more volunteer fosters if anyone's interested. We're totally reliant on them. And then some that do live at our facility on West Grande here in Tyler. And, we're just doing the best we can to try to find everyone a permanent home.
Yeah. Are people why do you think that there's such a overflow at shelters around the country, actually, from what I'm hearing?
It absolutely is an issue, and I think it boils down to just the way that communities and states and counties approach the idea of animal control and the ordinances and laws that we have in place. There's, you know, some places that are much stricter than others, especially up north in the northern states, which we partner with several rescues up there to transport some of our animals to. And some places, you know, require vaccines and require registration, spay neuter, that kind of thing. We don't do as much of that down here, and so I think that's part of the reason why we see animals that just end up reproducing or on the streets or become strays. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, coming together as a community to address the problem.
And Lord knows if you're soft-hearted, you want to help them all. But,
absolutely.
But animals, if they become feral, I mean, that's an issue. That's a problem.
It is.
It can be a problem around your house, yeah.
It is, unfortunately. And I think that people, I mean, this is, you know, not a popular thing to talk about, but in an area like this where we have such an onslaught of need, we really have to face the reality of euthanasia as a problem, you know, unfortunately. And it's not something anyone wants to do, wants to talk about. But when you, like you said, when you have animals on the streets or out in the community, they become traffic hazards, they become disease hazards, and that's something you have to address. And so we, as a foster-based rescue, we are a no-kill facility. And we are doing our best to get those animals off the streets and into homes.
But it is an issue, and I will tell you, it can be a tragic one. I have a long commute up here driving up. It's mainly country roads. And yes, you see possums and raccoons and the occasional deer, but you also see dogs and cats. And you sometimes in a rural area see people, they're not thinking about the fact that, you know, they're going to get curious and they're going to wander into the road. You know.
That's right. We see a lot of animals, you know, hit by cars, trucks, becoming traffic hazards. It's tragic. It's tragic for the animal. It's tragic for the person, you know, that's the drivers, the people that are traveling.
You feel terrible, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it just is one of those things that is the reality when you have a lot of strays.
Yeah. So, obviously, spay and neutering is the primary message here.
That's right.
Trying to get, and that's a requirement when you adopt out animals.
Yes, we do, as part of our program, require, you know, spay and neuter vaccines and also flea, tick, and heartworm prevention, because that's also very important. But spaying and neutering is just such an important thing, because you can prevent thousands and thousands of unwanted animals from hitting the streets by just spaying and neutering a pair of dogs or a pair of cats. Cats can start to reproduce as early as 4 months old, 4 to 6 months.
Wow.
So when you see a kitten, you think, oh, it's a tiny kitten. It's got to become an adult. That's not necessarily true. When they get just a few months old is when they're capable of having their own litters. And so that's why getting to that early is so important. And dogs are not quite that early, but still can. I mean, we've seen a lot of young mama dogs come in as young as 10, 12 months old with their first litters. And so it's just really important that we get to that as soon as possible, because you don't want a dog or a cat to have a litter and then that litter ends up reproducing. That's how we get to the problem we have now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if you have it done, you eliminate a lot of the worry for yourself and for your pet. Yeah, some dog or cat may stray into the yard, but if your dog is, you know, neutered,
right.
You're
not,
cool.
Not as much of a problem. Yeah, you don't have to worry as much. And also I would recommend, too, for the pet owners out there that have a dog or cat, and, you know, even if it's spayed or neutered, we recommend microchipping. Of course, all of the medical care. There's a few different resources, including SPCA. We have a program called Snippet Clinic, which is one of our biggest programs.
I love your name, yeah.
And they do low-cost, high-volume spay-neuter procedures, and we also provide wellness services, so you can get vaccines, just sort of annual vaccines, and you can get flea, tick, and heartworm prevention through our clinic as well. And there's a number of other clinics in the area that can do the same thing, and I would encourage people to shop around and, you know, find the best fit for them depending on where they're living and who's available.
Is it tough for you guys looking at a room full of cute dogs? I mean, you got some puppies that are just adorable. You want to adopt them all. Does it take a special kind of person to see that and know that it's going to be tough to find these guys a home?
I think it does. I mean, we have incredible staff and volunteers mm-hmm. that work every single day. There were incredible work ethic over there at SPCA. And you definitely, we think they're all cute. We think they're all cuddly. We like to to reach out and
cuddle. Even the ugly ones are cute.
That's right. And we see a lot of medical cases. So we have, you know, you've got some animals that come in rough condition, and you have to look past that and see what they could become as a, you know, as a pet. I think it takes a special person to look at a rescue dog. I mean, we always tell people, thank you for rescuing, because there are people who want the guarantees maybe that come, you know, with going to another resource. But mm-hmm. The folks who rescue are really special, and we just appreciate them.
I think the word is, maybe I could just be people I know, but I think the word is out that adopting a rescue is the way to go.
Absolutely.
I mean, wonderful, lovely, purebred dogs are one thing, and that's fine. But when you see some poor little boy or girl that needs a home, somehow more special. Maybe it's just me.
It's an incredible thing to do for the animal. I mean, the animal's life is completely changed because of the commitment that you've made to raising that animal. And I will say that people, I think, would be surprised at the variety of breeds and types that we see in rescue. Mm-hmm. I think there's sometimes a stereotype that it's just all mixed breeds, but we have lots of different types of dogs, mm-hmm. and cats, sizes, breeds. I mean, especially not just in our area, but throughout Texas, throughout the nation. So if you're looking for a particular type of dog, chances are you're going to find it in rescue somewhere.
I was looking at your dogs, particularly because I'm more of a dog guy, which is why the cats are, what do I do? Never been a cat person, but I was looking at your dogs, and I saw a couple of nice German Shepherds, that sort of thing, saw a lab. You do have, you know, but I don't know, purebred, but, single breed dogs.
Yes, that's right. We think people would be surprised. We see a lot of dogs that come from various kinds of situations. So, for example, we had a couple of German Shepherds surrendered recently that were purchased initially to be, you know, working dogs or service dogs, mm-hmm. and then that didn't work out. I mean, people's living situations change, mm-hmm. their financial situations change, and that's when they reach out to us because they're looking for help. Mm-hmm. We also have dogs, unfortunately, that come from situations where maybe their owners passed away or gotten very ill. And so mm-hmm. you just never know. And so I really would encourage people to look at rescue first. If you're looking for a particular size of dog or breed of dog, mm-hmm. check the rescues first, because chances are you're going to find it somewhere.
You may have a breed in mind, but you may find a dog that you can't walk away from.
That's right. Yeah. There's a bunch of those too. And I mean, the mixed breeds also sometimes tend to be healthier long-term, and also can be some of the most grateful. I mean, our animals, you can really tell when they come from a rough situation and they meet their person, they are grateful to be, you know, off the street in that situation. You can just tell that they are so happy.
I think it's what I like about dogs is that you can see it. You know, mm-hmm. when they're happy, when they're glad to see you, a dog lets you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
There are also, and you guys help investigate this stuff. We saw just not that long ago a horrible, I don't want to say hoarding situation, but a lot of dogs that have been malfed or ill-fed or unfed and untreated and nails not clipped and just filthy and all of that. You guys deal with that as well.
We do. We have a cruelty reporting feature where if someone's got a concern about an animal on a property somewhere, they're aware of a situation, they can make a report to us. We are not law enforcement. I want to make that clear, but we do work closely with law enforcement to help address those situations. So sometimes, you know, it helps to get it in front of us because we can use our connections to try to facilitate, you know, a better outcome for those animals. So I would encourage people just to go online, go to our website, spcaeasttx.com, and mm-hmm. look for the cruelty tab and fill out that form, because if you don't say something, nothing's ever going to change.
Yeah, and I've done this for a long time, and I can't tell you how many stories I've done where, you know, you're talking to the police, you're talking to the sheriff, whatever, but they've called in the SPCA or Humane Society or whoever, but to come in and help evaluate and tell them, you know, who can we say? Where do we, you know, where do we take them? You know, what do we do with them?
It's all about relationships, as we know, in a community. And we are fortunate to have some incredible people that partner with us. You mentioned evaluation. We can definitely help with that. We have a wonderful trainer that works with us, Allison Tuttle with Canine Connections Dog Training. She does all of our behavioral evaluations on our intakes for our dogs. And she can pretty quickly assess, you know, who's going to be a good fit for adoption, who's going to maybe have some training issues to address, those kinds of things. So, yeah, we have some resources that can help people out.
Temperament issues can be a problem. I know years ago, again, I was doing a story up here on sadly, about dog fighting, what happens, and was talking to one person with one of the shelters years ago. And she said, we don't like a dog. We'll take care of them. We'll take them in. You know, we'll feed them. We'll keep them healthy. But we don't like adopting them out. She said, we just can't trust them. Behavioral issues can be an issue.
They can be. And like any person or animal that's experienced trauma, sometimes there's things to overcome. That's why having a great trainer and being committed to, you know, working with that animal is so important. And sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of, you know, love and security and some obedience training. And there are techniques that you can use to help animals overcome what they've experienced. And so we're happy to connect people with our training resources and behavioral resources and as part of just making a commitment to that animal.
Have you seen that happen with dogs, particularly dogs, I guess, or cats that are just completely unfriendly? Have you seen that transformation take place?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I have a foster, actually, right now, a lot of us that work there, we also foster for SPCA as well. And I fostered before I became executive director. But my little foster's name is Ladybird. She's a little terrier mix, little medium size, about 40 pounds. And she originally came to us from a cruelty case that we had a while back. And so she's been in our program for some time. And I decided to take her and see how she would do in a home. And she is still, to this day, kind of a nervous little dog, kind of an anxious little dog. But I've seen so many strides in her. She was very unhappy in the facility. She was used to being outside. So I took her home and I can walk her and get her out, you know, that kind of thing. And she started cuddling on the couch with me just a few weeks ago. And that was something that she was way too nervous to do when she first came. So I've seen the change in her as she slowly starts to trust that this is a safe place to be. So those kinds of transformations can happen and happen all the time.
How can you let her go? I sense that you have another dog in your future.
You know, I have debated. I have an 11-year-old at home and she's always asking me if we can keep her. And, you know, I have considered it. But again, I go back to the thing that's so wonderful about our fosters is that they are committed to being that stopover for these animals.
Yeah. And so it's like a foster parent, you know, a foster situation in any, you know, light.
That's right.
Whether you're fostering a child, fostering, you know, and so forth, you're not the ultimate destination.
That's right. You understand from the beginning that you are part of this animal's journey and part of their story, but not necessarily their permanent home. And so, it's a really special thing when you can help those
animals.
Now,
I suppose you could be if you wanted to be.
You could be. We've had many, many foster fails, as we call them. We quote-unquote fail. And animals that have decided to stay. But generally we have people that just take animals in, and it helps that their permanent animals sort of become part of that healing process for our dogs. And so they learn from, they learn to trust, they learn to love,
well,
they learn
pack
to be
animals.
Excited.
Yeah,
So it's a really great thing. And anyone who's interested in fostering or has questions, please reach out and contact us. We'd be glad to talk with you about it.
Okay. What are you looking for in a foster parent?
We're looking for someone who's committed to working with these animals. It can be a challenging experience because a lot of them are coming off the streets. And so we're working on things like house training and basic training and learning how to live in a home. And so that can present its own challenge. But the vast majority of the animals we see have a great capacity for learning. They're intelligent. And especially if you have pets of your own, they learn from them and they pick up on these things. So just someone who's committed to spending that time.
Yeah. And in case you wonder, and we just lost our dog a few months ago. She finally passed away. So we've been thinking about, okay, do we want to? We've always had a dog, and we've been thinking about it. But you have dogs. If you're looking for a housebroken dog, you do have some.
Yes. Well, I mean, we have animals, like I said, that come from every situation. So some have already been in a home or been with a family and are very familiar with the, how to live with people. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things that, that I enjoy about being a foster is teaching an animal how to live with humans. Because it is kind of an art. You have to kind of learn each other. And some of our animals,
yeah, many
of them,
the chewing stage and all of that.
The puppy stage.
Keep your shoes hidden. Yeah.
Definitely. But some have already learned how to do that. We had a dog return to us recently. Unfortunately, his owner's situation, he was adopted about 5 years ago and spent 5 years in a home, and his owner's situation changed and they were not able to keep him. So we are committed to every animal we adopt, and we agreed to take him back into the program. And so he's being reevaluated now, but he's a great dog. And a lot of these dogs that, especially the ones that have been adopted out before or have experience living with people, they're fantastic. They just need a chance.
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
They didn't do it.
And we understand that, that, you know, the only constant in life is change.
Sure.
And so sometimes you just have to adapt to that.
Yeah. Is it tough for you guys when you see a cruelty case, when you see a situation like we saw in our area not that long ago?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. The rescue world will break your heart. And it is always a challenge when you see animals who've not had a great experience or had a very negative experience. But I think there's always hope attached. Mm-hmm. So when you get an animal in, and especially one that has severe medical needs, we took in a dog recently with a fractured leg. I'm not sure how it happened. I just know we're treating it.
Yeah.
And you feel good about the care you're able to provide. So that's kind of the counterpart to that.
But it is tough. It is tough. I'm originally from Houston. And early in my career, I was talking to a woman in charge of human services, you know, family services in town. And she told me it's the burnout factor dealing with family violence, for example, and I'm guessing animal cruelty is the same way. The burnout factor can be high.
It's, you know, very high.
It gets to you.
For sure. We see all kinds of cases, neglect, abuse. We get our cruelty reports and we go through those and process those and try to work with the complainants and law enforcement. And it is incredibly emotional. I mean, we've all cried at some point, you know,
sure.
In the office, out of the office. So it is incredibly difficult, but I think it's made better by the way that we come together. We're a very close-knit organization, as many rescues are.
I guess human nature can be disappointing. I know that I've lived in the country a couple of different times in my life. The people who will actually just drop an animal in the country, they're not dropping off a coyote. It's not like they can fend for themselves out there in the woods. And they always end up on somebody's back porch. Human nature can get to you, I guess, sometimes.
It can. It can. And I think there's a tendency for people to think that, you know, when their animals, you know, gets loose or gets away. And I know you want to tell yourself, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But the reality is they don't do well on the streets. They're not wild animals. Mm-hmm. They rely on, you know, we've domesticated dogs and cats into human care, and they require that.
It's not a wolf.
It's not a wolf.
It's not a cougar.
They're not taking down a moose in the wilderness. So, So I think it's just important for everyone in the community to do what they can. I know all of us have different abilities and you know, time and things that we can do, but everyone can do something.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is sharing our posts on Facebook about our adoptable animals, or if it's giving whatever you can afford to give, or if it's fostering an animal or volunteering somewhere at SPCA or any rescue, everyone can do something, and I would encourage people to get involved.
Well, let's talk about adoption. What are the requirements? What are the costs involved in all of that? When you visit and you say, okay, I want that little schnauzer. I like that little guy. What's the next step?
So the next step is that we're going to ask you to fill out an adoption application because our mission is to find the best fit for every animal.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that if you see an animal that you're really interested in, fill out an adoption application. One of our adoption coordinators will contact you to, you know, maybe set up a meet and greet where you can come and potentially meet the animal. Depends on some animals have a lot of applications. Some don't have as many. So it kind of depends on the situation. But if we feel like you're a good fit for that animal, then we'll invite you to come and meet them and get to know them a little bit at our facility. We have meet and greet rooms where you can come and spend time with them. And then if
I'm an adoptive parent, it sounds like a lot like adopting a child, I'll be honest with you.
It is, you know, we think of them as our furry children, so
sure.
It's very similar. And so if you come in and meet the animal and things go well, and if you have, you can also bring your, if you have animals in your home already, mm-hmm. we can talk about getting them together to make sure everybody gets along. And then we will talk about the animal's vetting and what the animal needs. Sometimes they still need spay and neuter by the time, you know, if they're adopted quickly. Yep. So we want to get that done. We want to get all their vaccinations done. But basically, if things go well, so our adoption fees range from $150 to $200, depending on the age of the animal.
Mm-hmm. Puppies. Older dogs are less. Yeah.
That's right. And puppies are a little bit more, and that just helps us cover, you know, some of the medical care that they receive and the time that we've spent, you know, getting them rehabilitated and ready mm-hmm. for a home. So that's basically it. Once you're selected, we can make everything happen and arrange for you to come pick the animal up. And we also have Allison Tuttle, our trainer. She will follow up if there's training needs mm-hmm. or other resources that you need. So we're committed to, you know, not just getting that animal adopted, but also trying to make sure it's successful in your home mm-hmm. even after the fact.
If I could make a personal pitch for older dogs, everybody wants a cute little puppy, everybody wants a cute little kitten, but an older animal can be very satisfying in a whole different way.
We have some fantastic older dogs in our dog sanctuary, and especially large breeds. I would really encourage people, especially if you have a fenced-in yard and you can provide that space, mm-hmm. but that's not always a requirement. I myself do a lot of leash walking with my dogs. I don't have a fenced-in yard, so I'm not necessarily in that category. But our older dogs really do have a lot of love to give, and they need a family just as much as the puppies do. And I just would encourage people not to count them out.
Oh, no, don't. And you want to talk about grateful. An older dog is going to be much more grateful. I'm looking at some of your requirements. All your animals in your home must be spayed and neutered if you have other pets.
Yes.
Yeah. You also, they must be current on their shots.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And we do check vetting, so we will ask you to provide some information about who your current vet for your current pets is, so mm-hmm. we can call and check with them.
Okay. And obviously, you have to be 21. And heartworm. That's important.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes. If you've ever seen an animal with a severe heartworm case, you know how uncomfortable and painful it can be for that animal. We had a healer mom come in with a litter of healer puppies, and she had a really severe case of heartworm recently. And so we've been treating her slowly, slowly, slowly to get her over that.
But it can be cured if it doesn't go too far.
It can be. It can. Absolutely. It's very preventable. It's very curable. But you just have to get it taken care of. And she, I watched her in her kennel just struggling to breathe. They struggle to breathe. They struggle to move. It limits their mobility. So definitely keep up to date on the heartworm prevention, flea and tick mm-hmm. prevention. It just prevents a lot of unnecessary medical issues.
Heartworm's easy. It's a pill. You know, just right. it's a chew pill. Yeah.
That's right. And our Snippet Clinic program, you can get prevention for as low as $6 to $9 a month on the heartworm side. We have some products that, you know, are super affordable for, mm-hmm. for people of all incomes.
Well, to keep your dog alive, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely nothing. I did learn something. I had a pair of dogs that went through parvo, which, and it turns out one of the dogs we adopted had gotten her parvo shot too young. They have to be at a certain point, so it didn't basically take, and that's tough to deal with. You know, the prevention is so much better.
It is a lot easier than having to deal with all the medical issues that come along with you know, the heartworm, mm-hmm. Fleas and ticks, and actually fleas, a lot of people don't know, can cause intestinal worms as well if the dogs are chewing, because the fleas are making them itch and then they're ingesting those. Yeah. It can cause other problems, so better to just prevent it right off the bat.
Now if you're getting a large dog, you want a fenced yard, right? From what I'm reading here.
Oh, well, it depends on the dog's energy level. So again, we try to find the best fit. So mm-hmm. so there are some large breeds of dog, Great Danes, for example, or larger dogs that don't have the higher energy levels that some other breeds have. So some of those dogs are a fit for small houses or even apartments. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the dog has a higher energy level, then obviously it's a good resource to have a yard where they can burn some of that off.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on, you know, what's your living situation? What are the dog's needs? We're going to try to match you to the best fit.
Made the mistake years ago trying to keep a beagle in a townhouse. They are field dogs. They like being out.
Those hounds love to sniff. They love to sniff the ground. That's what their favorite thing is. So I totally understand.
Yeah. If folks want to get involved, if folks want to become a foster parent, if they want to adopt, or sadly, if they may need to surrender an animal, what are your requirements on surrender real quickly?
Basically, we also have a form. There's a form for that. There's a form for everything. Yeah. On the website, we have our surrender form at spcaeasttx.com. You can go there and give us some information about the animals that you have and what, you know, the situation is, and then we can evaluate that. We can't take everyone. Of course, we wish we could, but we will do our best to either help you or find you a resource that can. So visit our website. We're also on Facebook for SPCA of East Texas. Mm-hmm. You can look us up on Facebook and Instagram and connect to us that way.
Okay. Emily Hegland, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you guys. Appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.